I look out at the congregation here and I see quite a few young people. And that's good. I like to see young people. But I want to tell you, young people, tonight, this way of the Lord gets sweeter every day for us older people. Because I can't do the things I once could do when I was a young person. I no longer have the strength within me. I've got things that just aren't working the way they used to work. And what it has done is it has forced me to get closer to God. It's got me to where I have to trust Him. If I don't trust Him, I might not be able to walk another step. It's gotten to that point. Been there. Know what it means. But God has always come to my rescue. And like I said, it gets sweeter every day. This way just gets better and better. And when I talk about excitement, I talk about opportunities, it's because every day when I wake up, I'm wondering, what great things is God going to do that I'm going to be able to witness? Sometimes it's for me, but sometimes it's for those around me. Sometimes I go to church on Wednesday night and I hear testimonies of what God is doing for the saints, and it excites me. And I know that if He can do it for them, He can do it for me too, right? Can you believe that? So tonight I want to carry on with what we were talking about and how this service tonight started. Brother Bob got up and preached a little sermon to us before we even got a chance to get up here. And I want to carry on with that thought a little bit. It excites me when I get into the Word of God. And there's often things that touch me as I read. I want you to turn with me to the Acts, the first chapter. Acts 1, I'm going to start at 1. Now, as I look into the commentaries and studied some of the history, it said that most people believe that it was Luke that wrote Acts. The writing style is the same as what Luke wrote earlier. And so they put it together and they say, this must have been Luke. All right, whether it was or not, but we'll take that. It doesn't really matter who wrote it. It's the inspiration of God that matters, isn't it? Okay. So let's start. It says, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Well, who is this Theophilus? It says that this man was most likely a student of Luke's. And he was giving him the Acts of the Apostles. He felt like he needed it and the value that was in it. And it was so valuable that God had it put into this book for you and I to be passed down thousands of years. And I want to tell you, as I read this, it excites me. It says, until the day in which he, Christ, was taken up after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Jesus went out and chose certain men, didn't he? And he chose certain women too, didn't he? And he used them to glorify God, to edify the kingdom of God. Okay, but it says through the Holy Ghost he gave them commandments. He didn't tell them, do this if you can. He said, I'm commanding you to do this. Commandments of God. We have the Word of God. I remember in Pacoima some years back, a sister from back east got into the pulpit. And she said, you know, a lot of people say this old Bible is just a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. And she said, you know, they're right. That's what it is. We look into the Word of God and it lays down a pattern for our lives, doesn't it? It tells us what God expects of His people. And it tells what will happen if we're not His people. And tonight as we look into the Word of God with your prayers and with the anointing of God to open up some of these scriptures and may it touch our lives. Okay, and then it said third, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Isn't that something? Raised from the dead, this man that they grew to love and grew to know, they ate with him, oftentimes slept with him, traveled with him, listened to him teach and listened to him preach, watched him perform those miracles that he performed. They became very close, didn't they? This was a family, really. The closeness of his followers and to him and these apostles that he chose out. Okay. And so it says that by his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And I'm thinking about these scriptures. I'm thinking, what was going through their minds? Now, they were so close. They come to love this man and depend upon this man. They thought this was the Savior of the world. And now we have Him in our presence. How glorious it is every day to be able to touch Him. John used to like to lay on His chest, and we can see Him and we can talk to Him. Any questions we can give, and He'll answer them. Right there with us. How glorious is that? But then He was taken away. How their hearts must have burned within them to think this man that we had so much hope for, and now he's been taken. We've been killed. He's gone. And then He came back. He came back to life. They knew He was dead. They saw it. They saw Him hanging. The nails, and they saw the spear or the sword stuck in His side, and the blood and the water. They were witnesses. They had lost Him, and their hearts were broken. But then He came back to life. And how happy they must have been. For 40 days they had Him again. How wonderful. How wonderful. We had Him. We lost Him, but we've caught Him back again. How beautiful. How exciting. Fourth verse. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith unto He, ye have heard of Me. He had already told them, didn't He? Foretold them the things that were to happen, the things that were to transpire. Oftentimes they didn't get a hold of it very well, did they? But He's telling them again, now just stay right there in Jerusalem. I'm commanding you. He said, I commanded them. I'm not telling this ain't a maybe thing. I'm commanding you to do what I tell you. Stay in Jerusalem. There's a gift coming down from God. If you want that gift, you better stay right there. Don't move. But stay in Jerusalem. You should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. What is this Holy Ghost? This is something they never experienced. This is something brand new. I don't think they really fully comprehended what He was saying. But He commanded them. And they were willing to live by that commandment. And they stayed in Jerusalem, waiting for the promise of this Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? What's it going to do? Six. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, will Thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So you see, they really still didn't get it, did they? Thinking that Israel's going to climb in power again and rule the world again. Never going to happen. But He didn't really address that because that wasn't important. They'd come to understand when the time come, but what He went on to talk about that which is important. And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father has put in His own power, but ye shall receive power. There it is. This Holy Ghost, and with the Holy Ghost comes power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to uttermost parts of the earth. This thing wasn't going to just stop there in Jerusalem, was it? It was going to be scattered. And how was it going to be scattered? Because of persecution that were going to come their way. They didn't really realize that at this time either. But it scattered the gospel to the four winds, to the four corners of the earth. 9. And when He had spoken these things while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Brokenhearted again. We had Him. We lost Him. We had Him again. Oh, how our hearts were lifted up. How our spirits jumped within us. And now He's taken from us again. And then 10, it says, and while they looked steadfast toward heaven, What do you think was going through their minds as they were looking up and, how can this happen again? He was here. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Well, who was this? Who is these men in white apparel? Where'd they come from? They weren't there before. All of a sudden, there they are. Did they sneak up on them? How did this happen? Well, all it really says is they were in white apparel. I believe these were angels. And they had a message. And they were going to leave a message. And he said, 11, he said, which also said, these two men in white apparel, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you. Yeah, you just lost him again. But he's being taken up from you into heaven. Isn't that where we all want to end up? In heaven? Shall so come in like manner, oh joy, oh glory, oh excitement. You mean he's going to come back again? We're going to get him again. It's going to be different. It's going to be different, but yes, he's coming back again. Shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Isn't that something? They saw him going, he's going to come back. You know, when I read this scripture, I'm thinking, what is this telling me? You know what it's telling me? He's never going to leave the clouds again. He's never going to set foot on earth again. He's going to come back again in the clouds, but he's coming back to be a judge, isn't he? But the excitement to know the promise that was given to them by these men in white apparel, why are you standing around gazing up? But you realize, he's coming back. The clouds received him, and he's going to come back in the clouds another time. To me, that excites me. It excites me. I'm looking forward to it. Now, I'm getting up in years. And when I was a young child, I always thought, I'm going to see the Lord come. I'm going to see Him come. By the time I'm, before I'm grown, I'm going to see it. And by the time I'm 21, I'm going to see it. And by the time I'm 50, I'm going to see it. Well, I have to ask all those. And I haven't seen it. And I've come to the conclusion, well, maybe I won't see it. But maybe I will. But maybe you young people will. Is there any reason that He wouldn't come tonight? Can anybody think of a reason? Can anybody think of a prophecy? Can you think of anything that has not been fulfilled that He couldn't break through the clouds tonight? I can't. The saints have taught for many years, all the prophecies have been fulfilled except the third trump, the final woe. And that's the day of judgment, when the trump shall sound. Everything else has been fulfilled. So what we're waiting for is His reappearance in those clouds. Turn with me to the 10th chapter of Acts. And I want to start at the 39th verse. And it said, and we are witnesses of all things which He did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed Him openly. They were witnesses of this glorious. This is the first time this has ever happened. You see, the Jews used to believe that if someone died and they came back to life, it had to be within 3 days. Because they believed that their spirit would hover over the body for 3 days. And if God wanted to bring them back to life, He would. If not, He would never be in. And when you remember Lazarus, he laid in the grave for 4 days. Why was the importance of 4 days? Because his spirit was no longer hovering. Because that's what the Jews done. Jesus wanted to make sure there was no doubt in the power of God to raise the dead. No one can say, well, it was the third day, so he was spirit. Yeah, it was just heartbreaking. No. No. The Lord Jesus called him forth. The power of our Savior called him forth. 41. Not to all the people. He didn't show him openly to all the people. But unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Yeah, I'm scratching my head on this one. He came back to life, but he's eating and drinking. Well, then I go back to the Old Testament when Abraham was sitting in the door of his tent and three men were walking up and they were on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah and he told his servants, go get the fatted calf and dress in it. He told Sarah, his wife, bake some cakes, we're going to feed the strangers. Who were those strangers? There were three of them. Who were they? I believe so. Who were the other two? How many went on to Sodom and Gomorrah? Two. But the Lord had such a relationship with Abraham, he came down personally to talk to him and tell him what he was about to do. And Abraham pled with him for this many souls and that many souls, trying to stand in the gap. And he said, Abraham, for 10 souls. But the angels went on. Couldn't find but 3 souls actually ended up being saved out of all those numbers. Just 3. What was I at? I get lost. Okay, 41. But not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And I was trying to say that, don't you remember that those angels and the Lord ate with Abraham? Well, what's it going to be like in heaven? What are we going to do? People say, well, we're just going to sit around all day singing and praising God and glorifying God. Really? I don't think that's it. Oh, that might be a part of it, and it'd be good to hear the angels singing. Oh, how wonderful. Have you ever heard the angels sing? Have you ever heard angels sing? I have Sister Rosie sitting there, and her grandpa was my first pastor. Old Brother H.B. Husky, little man about this tall, bald-headed, crooked eye. And he had a big voice for a little man. And he told me there was a time that they had had a meeting and they were singing their songs. And he said all of a sudden, he said, the walls began to sing. He said the angels began to sing with them. And they got quiet and let the angels sing and they listened to the angels sing. And I've never known him to tell a lie. I believe what he said. Have you ever heard the angels sing? I'd like to. To me, the very thought excites my soul. I know sooner or later I'm going to hear it. When I go up there, I'm going to hear it. But can I hear it now? Can we pray and get the angels down here to sing with us, to help us sing? Yeah. What's that? You must be talking about that redeeming song, huh? Isn't that something? We come into heaven and we come marching in there. What are the angels going to do? What are they going to do? They're going to get out of the way. They're going to get out of the way and let the saints come marching in. And that redeeming song, only the redeemed can sing that. The angels can't sing it. They've never been redeemed. The very thought, does it excite you? It excites me. I'm looking forward to it. If this life is this good here, how much better is it going to be over there? What are we going to do? The Lord ate and the angels ate. And I can't explain things. It's over my head. You know what Job said? It's too much for me. It's my head. I'll leave that with the Lord. But I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. Not one thing. I remember I was talking to one of the brothers and talking about, you know, if the Lord breaks through the clouds, that would be good and we'd see everything and rise up to meet him. But we're just going to see that anyway. But if I die before the Lord breaks through, then I get to go to paradise. But, you know, so I don't want to miss paradise. And the brother said, "You want it all." I said, "Yes, I do. I don't want to miss a thing. If paradise is the waiting place for the righteous, that means all those names that Brother Bob brought out tonight, they're there. They're waiting for us. I want to go be with them. But then I want to be here when the Lord breaks through the clouds too. I don't want to miss a thing. I want to go." Is that selfishness? Can you be too selfish wanting more of God? Is that possible? No, because I don't want it all for myself. I want you to get it too. I want you to have it all. All right. 42, and He commanded us. There it is, that word again, commanded. Commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that which He, that which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. He's coming back to be a judge of the quick and the dead. To Him gave all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive the remission of sins. Oh, glory unto God. Can we believe this? It's going to take a faith, isn't it? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, 1st verse. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Do I want that? Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong spot. 2 Timothy, I'm in 1 Timothy. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. That's why I'm saying He'll never step foot on this earth again, because He's coming back to judge the next time. And when He comes through the clouds at the sound of the trump, what's going to be left? We'll get into that. Let's go to the 8th verse. The writer says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Do you love His appearing? There's people that are afraid of His appearing. But should you and I have any fear at His appearing? I don't believe so. I'm looking forward to that day. Looking forward to that day. Let's go back to Acts 17. That's the 17th chapter and the 31st verse. Because He hath appointed a day in the which He shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He had raised Him from the dead. That's Jesus Christ, isn't it? Now I read these scriptures not to make you afraid, not to... We don't need to be afraid. We can be so in love with the Lord that we are looking forward to His coming. That it will mean everything for us to be with the Lord. And so, you and I that love Him and know Him, been washed in His blood, perfect love casteth out fear. All worries are vanity. They're vain. We can trust God. Are you persuaded? Lord, help us to be persuaded. Because He has appointed a day. There's a day appointed when He's going to break through that cloud. I can't tell you that day. You know, I don't know if you had it up here, but there in California, we were driving down the road. They had big billboards. Some church, some man said, "The end is coming on May 31st. You guys see those? The gathers up here? Like Oklahoma? Yeah. Well, guess what? It came and gone, didn't it? This is supposed to be a minister of the gospel. Apparently he ain't reading the same book I'm reading. Because it said, no man shall know. But they got it all figured out. You know, this formula, that formula, looking at the stars, whatever they do. But when God says no man will know, that's exactly what it means. No man will know. If God said it, I believe it. And that's it. That's the law. And it will not change. Because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world. And how's He going to judge it? In righteousness. Today we got people thinking that somehow they're going to get to heaven. I don't need to do that. That's not important. I know that that's the righteous way. I know that's the holy way. But I think I can get by with just a little less. But it says right here, He's going to judge. And what's He going to use to judge? Righteousness. Righteousness. How important is righteousness? Judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. That man whom He hath ordained. This man that came down here with one thing and one thing in mind. And what was that? Why did Christ come to this earth and give His life? Dear ones, it's all about the salvation of souls. Everything is take second seat and it's way far removed. He came to save souls. It's all about saving souls. All that we do, it's about the salvation of souls. By that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men. Dear ones, every one of us have had an opportunity, have we not? And I look out into the world and these people, they have had opportunity after opportunity, and yet they reject, and yet they shun. They're going to be judged in righteousness. That day is coming. May the Lord help us not to come short. Jesus said, watch. Watch and pray. Be ready that it doesn't overtake you unaware. But you can be aware. And you can be ready. These scriptures are a warning unto you and I to watch and pray. Romans, the second chapter. And the 16th verse. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, isn't that something? People think you got secrets. No one's going to know. Well, I might not know, but God knows. There's no secrets from God. I remember when I was a little boy, and my mom told me there's a day coming when Jesus is going to come back as a judge, and He's going to open up the book, and He's going to look at your name, Brian Rich. And what's going to be next to my name? The Bible says that some men's sins go to judgment beforehand, and some men's sins follow after. Is that what it says? My mom told me, she said, yeah, He's going to open up the book, and everyone's going to see it. Your mother, your father, your sisters, your brothers, your friends, teachers from school, everybody that you ever know is going to be listening as He reads that sinful list next to your name. That scared me. I was just a little boy and I had already done so many things I was ashamed of and that I said, oh no, I got to take care of this. I don't want anyone to know the things that I have been guilty of and the things that I have done. Think about that. How would you like Him to break through the clouds and open up the book and call your name and say everything that ever you had done? Would you like that? Would you like your mom, your dad, your best friend? Would you like your children? Would you like Him to hear? There's a cure. It's called the blood of Jesus. It's an eraser. It's the best eraser that's ever been created. And it'll just take that page next to your name and nothing left but your name. Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. into the joys of the Lord. I'm not worried about that book being opened anymore. I don't worry about it anymore. I know what I did, but it's all between just me and God, and it's been taken care of. What's the one thing that God can't see? God can see everything, right? Is there anything that God can't see? Come on now. Is there one thing that God can't see? Oh, come on, you guys are disappointing me. That's exactly right. And why? That's right. He can't see our sins through the blood of His dear Son. How powerful is that blood that God can't even see it? Oh, praise God. I'm glad that I sent my sins to judgment before that. He can open the books. He can open the books. It's okay. And we all have that opportunity. And it's wonderful. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And I want to begin at the 10th verse. Well, I'm just going to read the 10th verse. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Not just the sinners, but the saints too. We must all. Every single one of us. None of us will escape it. I was talking to somebody recently and talking about, you know, people, they get cremated when they die. And it's gone, right? Dissolved, gone. Or they get eaten by animals. Hey, well, that's gone. Gone. But I'm going to tell you, on that day, they're coming back. Fire is not going to... No. Not in the power of God. We're all coming back and we're going to face the judgment bar of God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body, according that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. Why? Because the book's going to be open. May the Lord help us. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew 24, begin at 36, please. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. You know, I remember Christ, He taught this apostle. He said, you know, if they say Christ is over here, believe it not. If Christ is over there, don't go. Why is that? Because, dear ones, in this day and time, I know that Christ is not out in the desert. How could He be in the desert if He's in my heart? And if He's in my heart and your heart, why does He need to be out in the desert? Only if there's some saints out there, He'll be out there. But not in a human form, in our place, body place. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. How was it in the days of Noah? How was it in the days of Noah? Were people getting saved? Were they interested in the gospel? Were they building new churches to glorify God and bring the people in? No. Only 8 souls were saved. If you look around today, dear ones, can we say it's much like the days of Noah? I believe that it is. Am I saying no one's getting saved? No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying we're at a low ebb. Faith is at a low ebb. People have no interest. We went to Walmart tonight, I need to pick something up, and the man that waited on us, I asked if he goes to church. Yeah, I go to church. I said, well, we're having a camp meeting out at the Church of God in Jefferson. like to have you come. Oh, no, he said, no, I go over something. I want to talk about it. So, no. People are not interested. Why? Isn't our message getting through? Doesn't the love that's in us flow out and touch others? May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. In another place it says, as in the days of Lot. It's going to be as in the days of Lot. What was going on in the days of Lot? Homosexuality wasn't. It was rampant. What do we have today in this country? I say that because I'm looking at these scriptures and I can see we're in the last time. The Christian community as we know it doesn't hardly agree on anything. But there's one thing they agree upon. We're in the last days. We're in that last day. May the Lord help us. And so the warnings that we have, well, get ready. Watch and pray because we're all going to come before God and be judged by the things done in this body, whether it be good or bad. 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered to the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. May the Lord help us to be ready, to watch, and to pray. Let's go to Titus. Titus, the second chapter. Titus, the second chapter and the 13th verse. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. I'm reading the wrong scripture, but boy, that's a sure good one, isn't it? Dear ones, we need to be strong in the faith. Sound. Sound in that faith. I was in the first chapter. I'm going to go to the second chapter. I'm sorry. 13. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are we looking for it? Do we pray, Lord Jesus, come? Come, Lord Jesus. This is my redemption. This is what I've waited for. This is what I've worked my life for, young or old. It matters not. Lord, I want you to come. We're looking for it, are we not? Looking for that blessed hope. It's a hope that we have of eternal life. And it's a blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Glorious appearing. To you that know Him, it will be glorious. And why? Because you're going to rise up to meet Him. To ever be with the Lord. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Dear ones, that's all sin. There's different churches out there that preach that sin you will, sin you must, sin you can't help it. That's not what the Bible teaches. It says that Jesus came to purge all our iniquities. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. What does the word peculiar mean? And you look it up in the Greek. What does the word peculiar mean? People want to say, well, strange. Well, yeah. But what it means is a called out people. You're called out of the world. You're called out of sin. One place it said, He'll sever you from the world. Sever you. Going to cut you loose. Because He's looking for a holy people, a righteous people that have been purified and made holy and white, peculiar and zealous of good works. And then it says, He's telling Titus, He says, speak. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. I love the Word and I love to share the Word. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of my Lord and Savior. And though the rebukes come, and though we're called cults and different things, and this isn't necessary, and why, this is what God is calling us to do. And that's all that really matters. May the Lord help us. All right, let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And the 26th verse. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth. Now, let's talk about this here. In other words, we've gotten saved. We have the knowledge of the truth. It's been put in our hearts. The Bible says that He'll write His laws upon your hearts and upon your minds. We've come to that understanding and that knowledge that He has given unto us. But yet we chose to sin over top of that. For if we sin willfully, this wasn't an accident. You know, one brother said in Mark one year, he said, you know, a mistake is not sin unless you willfully repeat it. We're going to make some mistakes in our life. And the Holy Ghost says, oh, you shouldn't have done that. We say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, would you forgive me? I wish I hadn't said that. I just said. That's how we keep up to date, isn't it? That's how we keep clear. God's precious and He's merciful and He's long-suffering. But it says here, if you will, I go past all that I know and I know I'm doing wrong. I choose to do it because I want this more than I want God. That's sinning willfully. It says, or if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There's people that teach you, once you're saved, you're always saved. Don't you believe that? That's a lie. You can backslide. The Bible says, talks about the backslider. In here, what's talking about is people that have gone past their knowledge and went ahead and willfully, knowingly sinned. It said there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. That blood that covered my old sins aren't going to cover this new sin. It's going to take some new blood, isn't it? I'm going to have to go back and do my first works over and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And to mean it. So you've sinned willfully. What's next? But a fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more sore punishment suppose ye shall He be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant with wherewith He was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. But there's forgiveness. If we can acknowledge our sin. That's where it starts, doesn't it? I've got to see my wrong. I've got to see my error. I've got to see where I've transgressed against God's laws and His commandments. And when I do, then I'm looking for a godly sorrow to enter my heart and my life and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Would you please forgive me? And what's the Bible say about a person that comes with a broken spirit and a contrite heart? God will never despise him. And I thank God for it. Because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here tonight. May the Lord help us. 2 Peter. Turn with me to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. And I want to begin at the 9th verse. It says, but the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's desire. That none perish, that all would be saved. And He has appeared, the Bible says, unto all men. None of us are going to have an excuse, are we? May the Lord help us. But the day of the Lord, the day when He breaks through that clouds, will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, that means they're gone. So how could Jesus come back to an earth that has been dissolved and gone? He doesn't need to. He's going to judge from the clouds. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? What kind of a person should we be? In all holy conversation and godliness. That's the person we need to be. May the Lord help us. And then it goes on to say, looking for and hasting unto the day of the Lord. Looking for, are we looking forward to it? And it said, hastening, are we praying for it? Hastening, Lord, hurry, come. Come quickly, Lord. We're waiting on you to break through those clouds and make that judgment. Lord, I want to go home to be with you and to the Father. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? Wherein dwells righteousness. Therefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Nothing on hand that will keep me out of heaven. You know, I told the older folks, and a lot up there, but we've got some quite older folks in our congregation. We've got some that are pushing 90 years old. That was better tomorrow. And I told them, I said, now I'm going to tell you how I'm praying for you. I'm praying that if there's anything that will keep you out of heaven, I want the Lord to show it to you right now. And then give you the grace and the strength and the time to take care of it. So that you can say, I'm ready. I don't want to have to worry about you. I want to know that you're ready. You see, I've had to do some funerals of some of our saints that have passed away. And I tell you, when you have that assurance that their life was where it should have been, spotless and blameless, that's an easy funeral to preach. And the saints rejoice in it, knowing that that brother or sister has made their reward. How beautiful the very thought of it. Dear ones, it excites me to even think of it. So wonderful. Turn with me to Jude. Jude, the 20th chapter, the verse, excuse me. It says, but ye, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. Dear ones, there's one that's able to keep us from falling. But we just got to stay in His hand, don't we? It's when we get out, when we get into trouble. He's able to keep us from falling and to present you faultless unto the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. And to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I was thinking about that in that day. In that judgment day when all the saints rise up to meet the Lord. And He turns to His Father. He said, Father, my church, my God, isn't she beautiful? She's holy. She's pure. She's clean. She's white. No spot, no blemish. Have you got a vision of the church of God? Dear ones, we need to have a vision of just how beautiful she is. How holy and how righteous, without spot or blemish of any kind. That's the church of God. We need to have a vision. The Bible says without a vision, the people perish. May the Lord help us. 2 Corinthians. I'm just about done. I don't know if I've been up here too long or what. 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. In the 11th verse, it says, finally, brother, farewell. He's ending this letter. After all his instruction, he says, farewell. Be perfect. What's it mean to be perfect? It means to be finished. It means to be complete. I have everything I need. Every tool that I need to make heaven, I've got it on hand. Now I'm going to ask you husbands a question. Maybe you've heard me ask this before. I'm going to ask it again. You husbands, what's your number one responsibility towards your wife? No answer? All right, maybe your wife's going to answer. Wives, what is your number one responsibility towards your husband? Parents, what is your number one responsibility towards your children? What is it? Yeah. It's to give each other all the tools they need to make heaven. Husbands, do all you can to make sure your wife can make heaven. Wives, make sure you do all to make sure your husband makes heaven. Parents, make sure you do all you can that your children will make heaven. That's our responsibility. May the Lord help us. Finally, brother, farewell. Be perfect. Be a good comfort. Be of one mind. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody was of one mind? That we had such unity, and in unity there's power. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. You want God to be with you? Then there's a qualification here, isn't there? What we need to see and meet and qualify to. That God of love and peace shall be with you. First Peter, the 5th chapter. First Peter, the 5th chapter and the 4th verse. But when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Doesn't that sound good? A crown of glory that fadeth not away. It's going to be yours for eternity on that great judgment day when he appears. My last scripture, 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and the 16th verse. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds. You see, in the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore it says, comfort one another with these words. I take comfort in them. It excites me. The Lord has given us all that we need to know. He's given us the tools to make heaven. It's all right here. Coupled with the Holy Ghost, dear ones, we can make heaven. Thank you for your attention. Pray for me.